Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I am here with the lovely Ashley Kaltwalser.
Hi.
The lovely exercise Ashley Kaltwalser. This weekend, she went on a run. She went hard on the runs. She's doing her 10Ks. Mm-hmm. There's like four in a row this month. She's going for it.
Can't do it next week, though.
Yeah.
Too far away. Too far away, too early. It wouldn't make sense. I thought it was good to go, but nope, not for next week.
So if you guys are new or just started following, Ashley likes to do fun things for cardio. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that you do it, especially because with how often you compete, makes it fun, keeps cardio. Then, you know, besides just being repetitive, doing trail runs, doing 10Ks. I guess that last one was a trail run. That's not like a normal thing.
Yeah, that was a trail run last week. But I always have to give the disclaimer to you, because every time I say I run 10K races, people have this idea that I'm just like putting in the miles every day. And I don't train for it. I don't put in the miles. I just show up to the race and I run it just for the cardio, just for, you know, good workout. But that's like the only time of the week I even run. So just don't think I'm out there training like an endurance athlete. I'm not. This is just, you know, just like you said, it's a fun source of cardio, much more entertaining than treadmill looking at the wall.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, recommend.
That sounds like, well, I remember when I used to run with like the wrestling team. That was always a fun thing with those guys. But yeah, so that, and then she'll do it with Orange Theory and mix things up. But she is getting in that zone again.
I am.
She's getting antsy, ready to compete.
I'm so just anxious to get on stage. I just want to be lean already and get up there.
you're probably going to get a little bit of the what are the FOMOs? Kind of, because I'm going to a show this weekend in San Diego. So you're going to see the backstories. Like, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
We did that show before. Yeah.
Yeah. Have we?
Night of Champions, I think.
Oh, that's not the Night of Champions.
It's not. Is it? I don't know. I just call them San Diego. I go to so many. I just say, oh, San Diego, Kentucky. Like, I just call them whatever they're at.
Yeah.
Because I forget the names. All the Vegas shows is called Vegas show.
Oh, you know,
the show in Vegas. I'm terrible with it. Or nationals too, because I always forget where Junior USAs or Junior Nationals is at. And the other ones I remember, but I always confuse those. So I just say Nationals. Go to Nationals, you know. So, but yeah, so it'll be fun. I'm excited to go to that. Season started. We had a team show this weekend.
We had a team show. It was the Patrick Sampson Showdown, right?
Yep. Mm. Sampson Showdown. He puts on a great production.
He does.
If you guys are ever wanting to do a Vegas show, or if you're a Team Elite Physique athlete, we have shows. So we have these shows. I guess we should probably tell everyone. Yeah, we have shows. So we do these things called team shows, where we'll have a lot of competitors come in for the team show. Usually it's like around 10 competitors, sometimes a little more. And on Friday, we do a posing seminar. We go through like the live show. We go through everyone's individual posing. We try to correct. It's basically like a mini bikini boot camp. A lot of people do it when they're wanting to go to nationals or go to a pro level, and they're just wanting to really get their like hands-on fine tuning, and kind of like a real learning experience of what to do when you're on stage. And then obviously we're at the shows backstage and fine tuning and all that too. It just makes it a fun thing. And then they get to meet a lot of people that are doing the same thing that they're doing. Some of them stay at the team house. Sometimes they go out and make friends, and they go out after because they're in Vegas. So they spend another day or two in Vegas. It just makes it like a real fun thing. So a lot of girls that are actually joining our team are wanting to do a team show and stay out in Vegas for a couple of days, bring their friends and family, come hang out in Vegas. Of course, have a pink box donut after, because
only one.
That's all you need, because pink box, everyone wants pink box. But yeah, so it's just a fun thing. It's a great environment. I had really enjoyed it. We had great show. We had a few first places this weekend. We're one off the overall, one at the last 2 years, and then this year it's like, oh, we're gonna get three in a row, and then we got beat on the overall. But congrats to Song King who was in there battling out with the overall. She was one off on the overall there. So, so it was a fun, I really enjoy the amateur level. It's a fun time.
And then at the pro level, we had a pretty awesome thing to announce.
Yeah. Jenny. So Coach Jenny, who's a wellness pro, she won the Masters 40 plus on the wellness, which is awesome. So congrats to Jenny.
Yay. Go Jenny.
Yes. Jenny's a petite wellness girl. So for all you petite wellness girls, you can do it. She's a petite wellness girl. And, she crushed it. So perfect score on that one. So yeah, so it was a fun time. I love those. It's just a different energy, you know, like pro shows a little more pressure, you know, a little bit more. We have a lot of fun there, but there's still like that emphasis of, there's still that pressure, you know?
Yeah, there is.
At the amateur level, it's just more fun. You know, you have some girls who are doing it for fun. Some girls who are trying to go to nationals are more serious. But everyone's just having a good time in this, like, it's treated as such. You know, it's treated right. Like, hey, this is not a pro qualifier. This is just, we're all having kind of fun. And it's just a different environment. So, yeah, it's a fun time. I really love, I guess it's my first, like, show where there's like a bunch of competitors. Yeah, this year where there's been like more than a few competitors. So it's like fun to be back in the environment. Everyone's excited and having a good time. So yeah, mm-hmm. I had a fun time. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm getting more motivated by the day, even just watching this. It's like, even though I'm not a part of it, it's like going to these events and seminars and stuff. It's motivating for me because it's like, oh my gosh, it's getting close.
Poor Ashley. She wants to compete so bad.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to go through the Arnolds without me being there and competing, but it's for the best. Like I've been saying, you know, I was just recharging my battery because I got a long season ahead. So eyes recovering pretty well. And look, I'm not wearing glasses. Would you look at that?
Yeah.
Now it's weird because it's like, now that I've been wearing glasses for the past few months, now I think I look weird without them. Like, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, something looks weird now. I'm like, you know, when you just get used to yourself looking at a certain way, and then it's like,
yeah,
now I look weird.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get used to my face again.
Yeah. I've done it where I like will shave too much or I'll shave too close, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I gotta shave my whole face again. And it was like, who is that? Yeah. Like, I don't I'm just so used to this now. It's just it's so funny. So I get it. That's funny. So speaking of which, right, we both learned those lessons. So this is going to be a lessons learned episode. So things that we've learned in our careers that hopefully some of these things that we learn, hopefully you don't make the same mistakes. And some of these things we learned, it's like good for you. Hey, that you things that you could just do that have helped you along the way.
So, and then some of these things we're going to tell you we learned from it and not to do, but you're going to do it anyway, but you're going to learn from it because you have to learn yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of these is like, yeah. Until you're in it, then you're like, oh, yep. What they said on Bikini New Brand is true.
Yeah.
You know? So
I would say, you know what one of the biggest ones is, which we always hammer, but the rebound one is I think everyone kind of,
oh, Adam, that's on the list. You know?
Yeah. I think everyone is, not everyone. There's very few people I know who haven't done it at least once. You know?
Oh yeah. No, I've done it.
I've done it three times. And then after the third time, I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Screw this.
Sometimes it takes a few. I learned my lesson from that. Some people still never learn though. So some people still keep doing it. So, you know, teach their own, whatever is best for you. But the first one let's talk about is, let's not sign up for a show too soon, or I guess in my case, book travel too soon, because I am one that's like, I like to be ready ahead of time with organizing my travel, my accommodation. So I do tend to do that like pretty early on, because I'm always so afraid that like I'll get a bad ticket, like for my flight, like, you know what I mean? One that's not convenient, or the hotel would sell out, which hotels you can usually cancel within the first or within 48 hours. But like, yeah. So for me, I need to just chill out and be sure first. Cause I did have to, there's been air flight tickets that's been canceled just cause, and I never got the money back just cause I wasn't able to fully commit to the show. So yeah.
I've been on the other end of that too with athletes that'll book it. I'll book the ticket, same thing. So now it's hard for me to like book the ticket because I'm like, well, are they gonna make it? So I'll wait, you know. And sometimes I don't make it. You don't want to tell them, hey, I'm losing money too, but it's just because it feels weird. You don't want to put that on them, you know. But it happens to me too. So I'm the same way. I'm waiting now till like 2 weeks. Like they're for sure doing it. They're ready. They're not gonna, you know, roll their ankle or something. Yeah. At this point, like things happen, get sick, you know, there's just these things. So I'm the same way. I book it like 2 weeks out. And sometimes it hurts me, especially like these bigger shows where the whole hotel's booked out now and I'm staying 2 miles down the street and you see me scooting on a scooter in the winter down in Utah or something. But the other thing that I'll say that a lot of athletes do is they'll book their show too soon that are amateurs. Like let's say, because to them it's a motivating thing. Once I sign up, you know, I'm committed. That's how they think of it. Great. I think that's an awesome thing. The problem becomes when, let's say you needed to lose, you know, 25 pounds in 16 weeks and you didn't meet that deadline, and we told you going into it, hey, this is going to be close. Like, I don't know if you're going to make it. This is going to be close. And let's say you have 6 pounds more to go or so to look right for the show. But you're like, I already paid for it. I already committed. I'm doing through with it. And then we're telling, hey, you're not going to be your best. And it, like, it looks bad when you're telling someone, hey, you're not going to be your best. But a lot of times they forget that we had that initial conversation. I'm like, we had this conversation. We talked about this 16 weeks mm-hmm. ago. Like, don't forget that. So I would say if you're one of those, there's no discount if you sign up 4 months ahead or a month ahead, like, you know, even a couple of weeks out. Sometimes I'll do like an early bird sign up, but the early bird usually is like 3 weeks, 2 weeks where the cutoff is. So I usually say sign up when you know it's you're doing it, because a lot of things happen too. Family things happen. Again, roll your ankle, get sick, you know, things like that. So don't sign up until you know for sure you're doing the show, because a lot of times you'll run into a problem where, I signed up, booked my hair, my tan, my makeup, all those are non-refundable, and I'm out, you know, whatever, $600, and I'm not even doing the show. So you want to always make sure you're competing. You're competing against the best physiques that are in your state, that have been prepping for a year. Some of these girls did that same show last year, and then they're prepping for the whole year to do better this year, you know? So you got to understand, it's not like, you know, you're just not going to transform into the show and meet this deadline and be 100%. So sign up when it makes sense. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Absolutely. The next thing I would say is, man, this one took me a while. So I always get asked to, hey, you want to go out for dinner after the show? And here's the thing. It always sounds like a good idea in the moment. Like, even the morning of show, it sounds like a good idea. But man, almost every single time, I'm like, oh man, I really just want to take a shower and go to bed. You know, I just don't want to take a shower, redo my makeup, or go out looking like an orange freak to one of these restaurants, which sometimes I will go out to eat. But what I do is I say, I can't fully commit to this. I'll just be straight up. I'll be like, I might come. I'll let you know after the show. I think that's a better way to do it, because man, everything sounds so good in the moment, but once you're done with the show, it's just like, man, I just want to get to bed. Well, for me anyway, I'm just like, I want to shower. That feels good to me. I'm okay.
Yeah. The one benefit that the girls have, like, competing in Vegas, is everything's still open.
Right.
When I was, when we do Denver shows, which will be in Denver for June, for a team show in June too, Mile High. What sucks about that is bikinis always last to get off. So a lot of times the girls will even have plans. They'll be like, oh, we're going to go to pizza, we're going to go to this or whatever. And then by the time the show's up, it's 11 o'clock and everything's closed out there that has where they wanted to go. You know, out here, nothing closes. So it's a different benefit. But same thing with, like, the athletes. When we try to set it up when we have these team shows, like a team dinner, but it never works, because we'll have one set of athletes that brought their family and they want to go somewhere. Someone that wants to go to pizza, someone that wants to go to sushi, someone that wants to go to get burger, and none of the restaurants ever work. So now we just kind of say, hey, if you're going to do something, do it. Great. We're planning it doesn't really usually work. So, so over planning after the show, basically.
Yeah. Cause sometimes it's just best just relax. You know, not everything has to be celebrated at that moment. Like, maybe it's better, like, to wait another day and just go out to eat the day after. That way you get some good sleep, you know, and you're not as, tired perhaps. Because sometimes those shows, like you said, they last pretty late, some of them. So, you know, I'm to the point where I will choose sleep over everything else, you know. So it's important to me, and I want to make sure I stick with my schedule. So that's, you know, just something to think about. I would also say, I've learned throughout the years to say no. And that sounds kind of silly, right? But I think a lot of times we can be people pleasers, and if something is going to make it harder on your prep, or maybe take you away from your routine or schedule, or even your sleep schedule, you know, sometimes you feel like you have to say yes just to, I don't know, be social. But I've learned just to say no, like, it's not worth it. It's, you know, just going to throw me off even more. Even like now I'm learning to say no to even some seminars and stuff too, whereas like I used to just take every opportunity, which is good, but I know sometimes when I am taking these opportunities to do seminars, it's taking me away from my daily routine and schedule, and it kind of backtracks me, right? So I had to say no to going to FIBO, for example, that's in Germany, because I'm like, I know that's going to throw me off so much, because not only am I going to miss like my usual workouts, my diet's going to be a little bit off. And then when I come home, it's going to take me like 2 weeks just to get my sleep back to normal again. So I'm like, is it really worth it? Not right now, because I'm trying to get lean enough to compete. So I know anything that I do that's going to take me away from my schedule is not going to be beneficial to me. And I'm going to say like competing is taking priority for me right now. So whatever's going to backtrack me from getting on stage, I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. I think that you're really good about doing that. I think you will run into that every now and then where it gets in the way, but especially this year, you're super focused. You're saying you want to compete a lot. And you're saying,
hey, every year.
that is true. Yeah. I guess, you know, what's funny is you're competing, like my like used to amount of you competing is it ranges. So like, it's so high already as a baseline that even your like slow years, which would be everyone else's crazy busy year, like, oh, she competed 8 times. For me, I'm gonna be like, oh, she only competed like 6-8 times this year. Like that would be a slow year, even though to everyone else that would be like, that's a ton of competing. But for you, I'm like, no, her a lot's like 14. her busy year. So it's funny, yeah, your baseline.
8 to 14, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about the range, which is wild to think about. Cause what I'm telling other competitors, even like pro competitors, I want you to compete a lot. I'm usually shooting for like 6. Like I'm a lot, when I tell them a lot, I'm like 6 is a lot. But for you, it's like, that'd be like a punishment, like 6. But that's important though, cause you're making that your priority. And that's I think that people don't understand the levels of this is going to change significantly as you move up. You know, the margin of error for the pro level is, I mean, these days is so crazy, man. It's like the margin of error is like fractions. Like there's just nothing, there's no margin of error. And so everything you do really, if you're trying to do what she's doing, just, you know, win pro titles and win big shows and be a legend, like it's going to take it being pretty much your thing, you know? Like you could coach, I always tell, you know, if Ashley wanted to, she could coach 3 times as many people as she wanted to, but she takes on a small amount of people because if she did more, it would get in the way of that, you know?
Absolutely. And so, I need to make sure my focus is competing, you know? There might be times in life where that might change a little bit, but like for now, it's like, I know I have a goal. I know what I need to do. I don't want anything to throw me off track from that. So I have to make good decisions and just prioritize prep and not feel guilty about it. Cause I used to feel guilty, you know?
Yeah. And I think obviously it's been working, you know, that's been your priority and that's what your main thing is. And you always, you know, say I'm an athlete first and, it shows, you know, it shows. And I think that people don't understand at that level, it's pretty much required. Like at that top level, that it's going to be very rare that someone could do it as a secondary, you know what I mean? So, so it's just one of those things. Now at the local level, in the amateur level and working your way up, I don't think it needs to be that crazy because you're really not changing that much. You know, you're already going to work out. That's what I always tell everyone. I'm like, it's not that crazy. You're working out for an hour a day, no matter what, you're going to work out for an hour a day. So the difference is you're going to be eating cleaner and then you might do a little bit more cardio because you're probably doing 20 minutes of cardio a day. So really the difference is maybe you do an additional 30 minutes of cardio. Like how much of an impact is that really on your life? You know, but for you, it's like, the focus, the sleep, the meals, that like everything. So it's just a little bit different. It's a little bit, especially for you because you're asleep. Mm-hmm. So So just something to look at when you're on your way up and thinking about the levels. As you move up, the commitment and it is going to be a little bit greater as you move up on the level. So I think that it's rewarding though, and people know that going into it for the most part. So
absolutely. So this one we're talking a little bit about in the beginning of this podcast, but I would say I've learned that off season is just as important than in season, and having a bad off season is setting yourself up for disastrous prep and miserable prep. And it doesn't have to be that way. So that's a big thing that I've learned is prep doesn't have to be miserable, but you have to have a good off season in order for that statement to be true.
Yeah. I'm on the verge of finding the perfect way of explaining this because I'm trying to think of it as like a bank, you know, like there's the level of suck is never going to change, you know? So whether it sucks like a little bit to eat cleaner in the off season. Like you're going to have to give in a little bit. So either you have no suck, right, in the off season and it is just pure fun. Just know that that suck is going to add on to later on. Right. And then your in season is really going to suck. Right. So like, I'm trying to find a way to describe that, but it's almost like a bank of a little bit, a tiny bit of suffer now equals a tiny bit of suffer later, or no suffer at all. Pure freedom in the off season now equals a lot of suffering later. Like, you're just kind of distributing suffer, right? You're just kind of distributing the suck of it. So I don't think it sucks that bad to eat clean most of the time. You know, right. I have my donut once every couple weeks, a month. I have a steak twice a month, right? I eat something like a burger. I think that's pretty good. I don't do it every day. And there's a little bit of suck in that I'm not eating pizza every day, but I also don't feel like crap every day when I'm eating that stuff. When I eat that stuff, it tastes good and it's good for like 10 minutes. And then I have like indigestion and I have to take a Pepsid AC to like help my acid. Like, it doesn't feel good after it, but it's way better than, you know, being fat and doing a lot of cardio all the time and then having to diet hard for X amount of time, you know? So, and I'm just trying to stay healthy and fit at this point, but competitors go so far in one direction and then they have to go so hard in their prep and then they like, you know, brag about it. Oh, my prep is this. I did this. I'm doing my 2 hours of cardio. I'm suffering. I'm like, why though? Why are you doing that? Because you just went so far in the other direction and it's not going to lead to the best end result. And that's where girls get burnt out, you know?
Yeah.
They'll do it time and time again. And then the next thing you know, they're done because it's just too, it's not worth it at a certain point.
Absolutely. You know? Either that or that not making true progress. And that can be discouraging. Like seeing like yourself on stage, but you're never really getting better. And in fact, a lot of people get worse when they prep this way, because like, as you say, you're chasing your last physique. When you go into these crazy off seasons, you're chasing your last physique. You're not really providing an environment to actually improve whenever your goal is just to get back on stage and in decent shape. So that can play with your mind too. You know, just not really making progress or just getting worse or, you know?
Yeah. When other people like, you see it happen too, like national level, when you've been beating a girl for, you know, two national shows in 2022, and then you have a bad off season, and then you get back in 2023, and then that girl beats you, and then she beats you again. So you're like, it wasn't a fluke. She's beating you now three times at three national shows, or she got her pro card. When you were ahead of her, right, the whole time, you've been ahead of her for 2 years, 2021, you're ahead of her, 2022, you're ahead of her. Now she gets her pro card in 2023. What happened? What was the difference? Well, you backtracked and she never backtracked. So just like any other sport, you know, your off season is essentially, if you think of it like any other sport, your off season is essentially practice, you know? So if you're always practicing for your sport, you're going to get better. So if your off season is practice and you just continue practicing, you're going to continue getting better. And if someone else is just taking all that time off, you know, then, and of course someone's going to be able to pass them. You allowed the room for them to pass you. And so if someone took advantage of that room and passed you, then, you know, it is what it is. It's going to be hard to now catch up to them because they're not going to create any room for you. And so that's what this sport really, you know, should be. I don't think people think of it as a sport like that though. They think because it's a body thing, they think of it as, oh, I just, you know, I'm a workout. I'm still working out, so it's fine. You know, I'll make progress. There's muscle gains under this and I'm sure I'll reveal them later. And I'm like, no, it's so hard to maintain those new muscle gains if you're dieting really, really hard to show them. Like, it's so hard. You're probably going to lose them. You might lose more than you actually gained, you know? So, so just remember it. Like, if you're going to do this for real, you know, I'm all for it. So I want to make clear, I'm all for transformations. I love transformations. I love people just getting on stage that one time. We had a great story this weekend of a girl she's like not trying to go pro. She's just having fun with it. And she's like transformed her body. She looks awesome. She ended up doing well. She got a second. And a third. And then what was really cool is that she actually, and I'm gonna put it on like a vlog, she wanted to be on Team Elite Physique since she was 14. It's so cute. She worked out at Club USA when I was there and Tori was there. And I think she's 20, I want to say 23 now or 20, like 23 to 25, something like that now. So it's been a long time. And she finally did it. She got on stage at the Samson and she's like, it's like a dream come true. And it was like the cutest story. And I loved it. But in terms of like going pro, that's not like her biggest, that's not like her thing right now. She's like, I just want to do this for me, get as far as I can and be the best I can, going pro maybe in the future. So for someone who is like that, where they are, you know, not being super serious in the offseason. Yeah, a little bit more looseness in the offseason. I get it, you know, but even her, she's probably going to be super serious in the offseason. Yeah. But I get that. But the people who are saying, hey, I want to excel at this. I want to be a pro. I want to get to the pro level. I want to get to the Olympia level or that type of thing. It's a different thing. You know, it's, this is a sport like any other sport. You know, it takes you practicing. It takes, you're going to have days where you don't want to do it. You know, I don't know how many days a year you have where you're like, I just don't want to work out today, but you still do it.
Yeah, that's not a rare thing. You know, I don't feel motivated every single day of the year, but I have to push through because, like I say, this is a life I chose.
Yeah.
It's a life I chose. And, you know, when I start to think negatively, like, oh, man, I don't feel like doing this. I'm like, you know what? I got it good. Like, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, this workout's going to be rough, but there's rougher jobs out there. And I'm on a mission, and I know that, like, in order to accomplish my long-term goals, these little days here and there can't bring me down, these unmotivated days. So I just got to push through because willpower is more powerful than motivation. So,
yeah. No, you, I think both of us one day will look back at this period of our life and we'll be like, man, that was crazy. What a privilege that was.
Yeah.
You know, I hope my mind always stays sharp enough. I know I'm always going to be able to, I should be able to always do what I do, but I hope my mind stays sharp enough. I can do it till like my last day here, you know, because I really do love it. And I always like, I think this could be something else that like a lesson learned too, to never let it turn into something you hate. You know, yeah. You've done good at that. I've done good at that. I've had to make adjustments to that. Something that for me was like turning into something that was work. You know, I never wanted it to turn into work. As soon as it turns into work, you're just like waiting to get out of work, you know? And I think that that's important to recognize, you know, and fitness can do that to you too. Sometimes you'll fitness, and I see this happen with some athletes too. Fitness will be so fun for them. They'll love it. They'll do it every day. They can't wait to get in the gym. They don't take days off. Like they just love it so much. It's your best part of your day. But then they compete and then it becomes like work. It becomes a grind. Then when the show's over, they don't even want to get in the gym anymore, right? They're like, oh, I'm just so like burnt out. I just need to like, and then sometimes they don't come back. So you have to remember that and like, don't lose the love for it. And if you need to change some things to make sure you're maintaining the love, whether that's joining a different gym, not prepping as hard, you know, different circle of friends at the gym, different workout routine, whatever, like make sure that you keep the love of it. So, and I've done that myself as like a coach. I'm like, you know, maybe I need to restructure things to make it more fun. Maybe I need to work less days. Maybe I need to go to less shows for a year. Maybe I need to go to more shows for this year. Like this year, I'm like, I'm wanting to go to like 20 shows at least, like travel. So it's different, you know, different for each year, but I'm always assessing, okay, I want to make sure that my fun level is high. Like that's the most important. My fun level and my win level is high. Because those are the two things that I love the most, winning and having fun. Like those are the two things. Anything else is like a sub of that. So how do I restructure this to make it where I love it when I go home and I'm like smiling when I wake up and I'm smiling when I go home versus like waking up and like, oh, I got to go to work today. And then can't wait to get out of here. And I get home. I'm like, oh, I'm relieved. I'm finally home. You know, like I want to be when I get home, like I wish there was there any more I can do, you know, like look at my computer still, whatever. So yeah. And I think it's important for everyone to assess that for themselves and make those changes.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people put pressure on themselves, like, especially at the amateur level, whenever this isn't like what you do for a living, right? If it doesn't feel right, you know, do another show. Like if you're rushing to prep and it's miserable, just push it back. But you got to love what you do. Otherwise, why are you doing it? Who are you trying to prove? Like, if you don't like doing this, then, you know, take some time off and figure it out. Come back when you want to. But, you know, just because you said you're going to do it doesn't necessarily mean you, like, should, you know? That, and that goes into don't sign up too soon, right? Yeah. So just know that there's shows all the time. So if you're not feeling this prep, you know, there's one in 6 months you can do. Yeah. And hopefully you got your ish together a little better with that and your mindset's a little bit better.
You know what? On that note too, the pressure note, which is a cool story. You might like it too, because you're an athlete that's very, you know, gets a lot of pressure, I guess you'd say too. So there's a guy named George St. Pierre. He's you know, like one of the best MMA world like champions that ever existed, you know, probably, I mean, maybe arguably one of the best ever. But he would the way he would deal with his pressure is really funny story, like a cute story. Before these big fights, he would just drive around. He was telling the story, like, because everyone asked him how he deals with the pressure. He'd drive around town and he'd go to like the store and he'd go to these places where a lot of people wouldn't know who he was. You know, he'd be like, you see that lady right there, that old lady? She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't care if I win this weekend. Like, she doesn't care if I win my world championship fight. Like, he'd be like driving around and looking at people like, that guy has no idea who I am. He could care less if who wins the UFC champ. He's like, so where's this pressure coming from? Yeah. It's coming from me. I'm the one putting pressure on myself. No one cares. No one knows besides the people who are in my sport. Yeah. Like, other than that, I drive around and no one cares. I drive around, no one cares. He's like, so for me, he's like, I'm saying it as him. He's like, when I was putting that pressure on myself, I realized it was just me that cared. It was just me that put that pressure on. So because all the world isn't watching the way I feel like they're watching, I can perform knowing that I can just go to this grocery store. No one's going to care. No one's going to know. I can still go to the mall. No one's going to care. No one's going to know. And it's just me that puts that pressure on. There's no point of it. You know,
I love that.
Isn't that a cute story?
That is a cute story. In fact, I would love for you to elaborate on that story even more, because just like I told Adam, I'm going to have to pee.
Priority. We talked about,
I drink so much water.
We talked about putting it as a priority, right? Priority for Ashley right now is peeing.
It's those pink Starburst things. You put them in your water and you can't stop drinking.
Okay. And so, on that note too, it's funny she told me going into this. On that note too, I think that one of the other things is not sweating the small stuff, you know, and not like obviously putting a lot of pressure on you and not sweating the small stuff. So one of the things that's going to happen 100% of the time when you compete, like almost every time, something's going to come up. Something is going to get in the way of your prep being 100%. You're going to go out and eat a meal, and there's going to be, you're going to be find out, oh man, they cooked my chicken. There was butter on it. Didn't realize it. You're going to go to an event. Maybe it's a wedding. So don't plan your whole show season around being a perfect period of time where you can compete, where there's no interruptions, because it's not going to happen. That's the thing. Life is always going to happen when you're competing. And I'll have that happen all the time where people they'll give me an inquiry or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, I'm going on, like, it's March right now. And they're like, I'm going on vacation in June, right? And so I should wait till after June till I compete. And I'm like, so you're saying you're going to wait for like a perfect 5-month window of the year where nothing is going on. It's going to be no holidays, no birthdays, no weddings, no vacations, no sicknesses, no family that's getting sick, no one moving, right? There's going to be something that comes up in those periods. There's never going to be a prep in your life where you're doing 5-month prep or 4-month prep where there's not something that's going to come up, some type of thing. So just try to, you know, just understand that there's never going to be any prep that's going to be perfect. There's going to be things. So don't let that get in the way of you prepping, because there's of course going to be something that comes up in the preps. So I think that really pushes people back from doing shows, is they're like, well, I'm going to get married in, you know, a year. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go and do a wedding, and there's going to be things that get in the way of it. I can't prep perfectly. I'm going on vacation for like a 3-day trip to whatever, a carnival cruise to Mexico for 3 days. Like, just commit to the show, do the best that you can. Don't beat yourself up about it, and just don't sweat those small stuff. What other small stuff?
So I would also add on to that is, and I'm guilty of this as well. I'm getting better at it, but I'm still guilty of this. Whenever you compete, guess what? You're going to mess up something, because there's no such thing as a 100% flawless performance. So this could be something as small as, oh my gosh, why did my hair get stuck on my shoulder in the back pose or something? Or why did I step this way? Or my abs don't look as good. Maybe I should train them. I don't know. Something. There's going to be something that isn't perfect when you compete. Okay. And I was at a seminar earlier this year in, you know, Natalia, the women's physique, women's physique Olympia winner from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. She put it perfectly, and I always said a variation of this, but she said it perfectly. She said, you know, you competed and you're getting all worked up all over these small mistakes you made. But meanwhile, there's somebody in the hospital, laying in a hospital bed, wishing they could even just stand up. And you're here complaining that you didn't, I don't know, move your hair off your shoulder. Like, just have a little gratitude and perspective, you know? So just be grateful that you are able to compete. You're healthy enough to be on stage. So yeah, you're going to mess up something, but just know that nothing's going to be perfect. So don't sweat the small stuff, right?
Yeah. That's a good thing. You know, I can't tell you like getting weightlifting taken away from me for 3 months, you know, like I started lifting weights again, 'cause my arm, right? Like pretty much tiny, tiny baby weight, like 2 weeks ago. And I was doing like 5 pound curls on my arm. And it was like heavy. The 5 pounds felt heavy. It was crazy. I'm like, how is this even possible? Like it felt heavy. My bicep wasn't attached for a period of time. You know? So of course there's no strength in it. It was like totally atrophied. And then the other day, it's been 2 weeks since then, and I curled a 20 pound like barbell, not even dumbbell, but barbell. Dumbbell would be crazy. But I was like so happy about it. I was like, so like, you know, I got a pump and I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm so happy. I feel blood in my muscle.
Yeah.
Feeling good. Like just being grateful for that, like having it taken away from you is like, I mean, honestly, it's like one of the worst things. Like to me, it's like one of the worst things. Like just that, just you get like, I'm more anxious. I'm more angry. I'm like, I don't know. It's just what it does for me. Right. Is just such a positive in my life. Like it's crazy how necessary it is for me. So now like going through that injury, I was happy to go through the injury because it lets me know, okay, where are people? I always like when I have to take time off. I've had like two injuries that kept me out of the gym for a little while because it puts me back in the position of, okay, this being so hard to get back into it and like it being this sore and being this like new to working out again, like I can feel again what it's like for someone to start because it does kind of suck. You're sore everywhere. Everything's cracking. Like my shoulder's super unstable right now. So I'm doing like shoulder press and my arms, like there's like loose stuff going on in my shoulder because I haven't lifted weights and was in a sling for a while. And I'm like, okay, remember, don't forget to remember this. This is what people go through when they're first starting. Like it's a really, some of it's kind of uncomfortable, you know, but I appreciate it like so much. I'm like so happy about it, right? To be able to lift 10 pounds, you know, it's like, it's a great feeling. So yeah. So just to add to that, it's when it's taken away from you, you realize how much it means to you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, having good perspective, I think, can help your attitude, especially post-show. And kind of like what we were talking about earlier, the pressure is mostly you putting it on yourself. And at the end of the day, whether you win or lose your show, that really shouldn't change things once you go home, right? For the majority of people, I mean, assuming this is an amateur show, your boyfriend's not going to break up with you because you didn't win. Your mom's still going to love you. You're still invited to Christmas dinner. Everything's going to be okay. I do understand, though, it can be frustrating because you want to do your best. And just like I was saying, that's like something I still struggle with is those stupid mistakes. They're almost like the stupid mistakes is almost worse than like, oh, I like conditioning, like I wasn't as conditioned or I'm too small or something. It's almost because it's like so avoidable. It's like, you mean to tell me if I didn't push as hard in the back pose, I could have done better. You know, I think that's the worst feedback I got. Like before, as I remember after one of the Olympias, one of the judges came up to me and they're like, I would have moved you up a few places if you didn't pose so harshly in your back pose. I'm like, now whether that would have actually been true or not, just hearing that is like, such a stupid mistake that I could have fixed easily and hopefully would have done better. So, you know, it's hard to get some feedback like that. It really is. So, but just know, like I said, there is no such thing as a perfect show. And even the times that I've won with a perfect show or a perfect score, I'm sorry, I know I could have done something a little bit better. Yeah. And I always get feedback and I improve even when I, you know, win the show.
So I would say a lot of the times when you have a perfect score or you win the show, you will still find stuff.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One thing is, and I think it's important too, is that you're always a student of the game. When I'm at the show, I'll shoot video and send it to Ashley too. And after judging, she'll be in her room reviewing the video. Oh, yep. I did this. Probably review, I don't know how many times, what do you review? 30 times probably, just every move and just trying to fine tune it. And that's important too. One of the lessons that I guess that'd be a good lesson learned too, is that look at your performance. Review it. Look at the little mistakes. The little things add up, you know. Mm-hmm. When we're changing posing on, let's say, someone who's going from a local show to a national show, like the things that we're moving around are like an inch here and there, pushing the arm back an inch, making sure the shoulders are balanced, like just tiny, tiny little things that make all the difference in the end presentation, you know? So yeah, be a student of the game is definitely that. And I think another one that I skipped over too we can discuss is, you know, never letting people make you feel strange about what your passion is.
Yeah. People get uncomfortable when something's above average or more than the norm, you know? And you...
So true.
And even like, I'm just thinking too, it's like, even if there was somebody that was passionate about something that totally different than what we are, let's say it's, I don't know, bird watching, and they watched birds for 3 hours a day, you know, although I myself think that would be really boring and I wouldn't be able to find that to be very fun, I understand why they like it. They're passionate about something. So once you find that something, you become passionate about it. And a lot of people start to say you're obsessed or get a life or what do you do all day? Well, what do you do for fun though? Like, and start to kind of poke and prod at you like that. And I think a lot of times we fall victim to that. And people just try to gaslight you for being amazing, you know? So if you want to be amazing, you're going to have to deal with that. And you're going to have to do things that are considered not normal, I guess, and go above and beyond what's expected of you, because nobody great ever got there just by doing the bare minimum or what normal people would do. They all went above and beyond and did something spectacular.
Yeah. I think you worded that absolutely perfectly. And I think one of the things too, especially in our sport, is that, so like the bird watching one is a good example because people would look at it like, oh, you're wasting your time. You're not, right. You know, what are you doing with your day and this and that. Right. But it's the one thing that's not, well, that wouldn't be in the bird watching thing is that you're getting a better physique, and people do get very intimidated of people that are getting better physiques around them. Right. It's like, I think it's they realize they're not doing anything to improve their fitness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost like they take it personally, like, oh, she's getting leaner and I know I need to get leaner. So I'm going to make her feel bad about getting leaner because like I'm feeling chubby right now. Right. And it's like this own self. And it's just, I think it's like a human nature thing. Cause you see it with a lot of success too. And these people, whenever someone's coming up, like you get like an Elon Musk guy who's just starting, everyone was all in his corner when he started, he was starting PayPal and whatever. Everyone was all in his corner. Now he's like the richest guy in the world and everyone hates him. Right. Yeah. You were all for him trying to come up and be a businessman, an entrepreneur. And you know, same with Mark Zuckerberg when he was doing Facebook. Like, that's a cool idea, Mark. That's great. Let's do the Facebook, right? The Harvard Facebook. So now that he like owns the world with it, it's like, oh, he's so greedy. This, that. But so like when these things are just like human nature, right? So when you're starting to see a lot of success and your body's looking awesome and you're putting a lot of time and effort into it, people see their own, they're self-conscious about themselves not doing anything great. They're just kind of doing their own thing. They're working their job, they're going home, they're not taking care of their fitness. It's the same thing over and over again. And all of a sudden, my friend Susie, she's made a change in her life. She's looking awesome. She's posting pictures. She's posting, she's turning into this fitness Susie. And I'm a little intimidated of that. And I'm self-conscious that I'm not doing it. And I'm feeling kind of indirect pressure from her to be better about myself. Even though she's not pressuring me, I just know I should be doing something about my fitness. And so I'm going to make you feel bad about it. So hopefully I can knock you off your pedestal a little bit, right? Bring you down a notch on the ladder when really she should be climbing the ladder with you. Right. You know? So it's just, it comes with it. There's no way around it. You know, same thing with me, you know, when I was a small time trainer, everyone's in my corner, you start climbing a little bit and then everyone starts talking. So it's just, it is what it is. The more eyes on you, I think it's always going to be like the same percentage. Like, let's say when I first started, you know, 10 people knew who I was. You might have one that didn't like me. One, you know, let's say, right? You get to 100 people, maybe, you know, the same percentage, less than 10% would be a lot. Let's say it's 1%, right? So one person, now it's 1,000 people know you, then it's 10,000 people know you, then it's 100,000 people. That gets a bit, there's a bigger 1% gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, it comes with it. You know, Ashley, you know, who ever thought someone would not like Ashley for competing? Yeah. Like, hey, Ashley, you're the devil because you like to compete often.
That's
like,
so selfish.
How is that even a thing, right? Like, what a joke that was. But, you know, it just shows you people are intimidated of that. And it's just, it's going to come with it. It's their own like self-reflecting on their weaknesses of themselves. So just understand it's going to be part of this. But don't let it get to you.
I fell victim to that in 2017, whenever I felt like I should be a normal person and go out like the normal people. And I'd be much happier because that's what everyone around me was saying. And I'm reporting back to you that's not the case. I'm not happier doing what normal people do. I call me weird, call me an alien. I don't care. I love my life and I love competing a lot. It's not miserable to me. And in fact, I think I live more life than most people do. You know, I get to travel the world and see new places and meet new people and compete whenever, wherever I want and have fun doing it. So, you know, a lot of people might look at me and be like, oh my God, you can't eat the food you want to eat. Oh my, what a horrible life. That's boring. How miserable. And I'm like, no, that's miserable not to do it. I'm like so into it. It's fun for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get the same thing too. You know, I work a lot. I don't need to work this much anymore. And
right.
I'm like, but to you, it's work. Cause you look at your own work and you wouldn't want to do extra of that.
Right.
For me, when I get done, I'm like, I wish there was more I could do, but I'm done for the day. There's no check-ins left. There's no anything left. Like, I want to work more. Like, I want to go to shows. Like, and they're like, well, you don't vacation, you this. I'm like, I do though. I go, like, I'm probably going to go to Japan with Ashley this year or something, you know, something crazy like that. To me, like, I'm not someone who can go on a vacation, just sit there. Like, that would drive me crazy. I think I just sit on a beach for like 30 minutes. Like, I did it in Hawaii with Kimber. I was like, so this is what people do. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with this. Like, yeah. I'm done. Like, we rode a bike. I was like, that's cool, you know, but like, it was fun. And but I'm like, all day for 5 days, like, I just can't do all
that. Yeah,
this,
right? Like, I know. When people ask me, like, but do you ever go on vacation? Like, and I'll be like, well, you know, when I compete, I get to travel wherever I want, or, you know, I'll be like, no, I meant like an actual vacation. It's like, to me, that is vacation. And for me, like, my competing is the adventure. So when I'm home or not competing, I don't want to do anything. Like, that is my adventure, my adrenaline. So like, when I'm not competing, I don't want to go like skydiving or something like that. I'm like, no, I just want to like have a spa day or just chill out at home. Or yeah. So I don't even like to travel if it's not for a show, honestly, because I'm like, I'm going to be bored with travel anyway. I'm going to be traveling so much that I don't want to waste, like, it. To me, traveling is just, I don't know. I don't think of it as like a vacation necessarily. I think of like competing as a vacation, if that makes sense.
And you can turn it into that too. Like, you can take a day out there.
And
you
know? I do. Yeah.
Yeah. We've done that before. So yeah, Hawaii was like that. It was great. You know, I was telling Kimber last night, I was like, do you still want to go on that cruise? We were supposed to book a cruise a long time ago. And I was like, looking at, let me go on like a 3-day cruise over the weekend, like Mexico, have fun with it. You know, they have a gym there, they have all that. And then, she's like, well, we kind of just went on vacation in Hawaii, you know, and like, so she's on like the same page, mm-hmm. you know, she was like, we kind of just did. I was like, yeah. Like, well, if you want it, we could do that. Like a 3-day weekend when there's no competing and, right. you know, they still work out and whatnot, it'd be fun. But, yeah. So I don't know. I guess it's cool when they say, but that's that corny saying, when you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So, but your love, your guys' love might be the gym, and that's to other people. That's work. Just like my work isn't work to me. But everyone else thinks that they're 9 to 5 and they're like, I wouldn't want to do it as much as you do it. I'm like, well, that's because your job sucks. And you do it because you have to do it for a living. I do it because I love my job. That's literally the reason. You compete because you love competing. Mm-hmm. This is why you do it. So, so I think that people don't understand that. They're always going to try to bring you down to and kind of put it with their life, like how, like, they look at my work as their work, and they're never going to see outside of that. So just ignore it until.
Absolutely. Yeah. If someone even has to question it, I would say, what are you passionate about in life? Because if you are truly passionate about something, you would be able to relate or understand kind of, you know, although the activities might be different, but you should still kind of be able to relate to them in a way if you are passionate about something. So if not, you're kind of lost. So
yeah, I hope everyone finds their passion, you know, whatever that is, you know,
absolutely.
And they can do it a lot mm-hmm. and enjoy it. Like as much as we do, that'd be good. I would wish that. I wish that if everyone did that, if everyone did what they loved for work and hobby and at the same time, I can't imagine how the world would be. Like, everyone would just be so much happier, you know?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. I would also say that I use the term, it can be anybody's day on any given day, which means no one's safe, especially in bikini. So that's something that I think if you haven't learned yet, you're going to, because you're going to lose at some point. I'm sorry to break it to you. If you haven't lost already, you're going to lose. Because you know why I know this? Because every single bikini Olympia winner and everyone on the Olympia stage, in bikini anyway, has lost. So if you haven't yet, get prepared to lose, because no one's undefeated here. We've all been through it, you know? So with that being said, in bikini especially, it's very, very subjective sometimes. And it can have a lot of opinion alongside the, you know, criteria, which the judges stick to as best as they can. But even with the criteria, that does leave a little bit of room for opinion with some things, because nothing's like clear cut. So just know that sometimes somebody else is going to shine a little brighter than you. And sometimes you can't, you know, you can't put your finger on why does this person look better, but they just shined a little bit brighter. And, you know, that can work to your favor or against you when you're just not feeling. I've had shows where I didn't even see my photos or videos after, but I can tell you when I stepped off stage, I was like, I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't shining very brightly today, you know? So I can feel it, but sometimes that's the decision maker. Someone just shined a little brighter. It was their day.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that you say that. I think people don't really, they put so much into the actual placing that they don't realize what they're doing. You know, you're doing bikini. It's like the most subjective division. I understand it. I understand it more in like bodybuilding, you know, because it's so clear and concise of like, who's going to win, you know, going into it. You kind of have like two guys going into it. And you're like, well, if this guy comes in as condition, then he should be able to win it. But he doesn't come in as condition. He kind of knows he's going to place it. But in bikini, it's like, it's literally all over the place. And who in any given day, there's just so much that goes into it. So just know that you are picking the most volatile division. It could be someone's day, especially at the amateur level. It does change a lot more on the amateur level, even, because if you have 10 girls that are soft and you brought pro level conditioning, you might look a little hard and out of place next to them. And you might throw, it might skew things. Or if you're a little soft and that works to your favor usually, and there's 10 girls that look, you know, pro level, like lean pro level conditioning, like you're going to look a little soft. Like, so there's going to be a lot of variance, especially at the local level when you're coming up, and it'll get a little frustrating. So just know that going into it. But good thing is, there's going to be another show in the next week or two. You can always do another one. Yeah. That's the thing about bikini is the downsides are that the upsides are, yeah, there's going to be, like, for example, pro shows this year, there's 68, I think it was. Someone told me 68 pro shows. Yeah. And you're going to do six of them. And then they're going to be like, oh, you did all the pro shows and still everyone's like, you can't get it out of the remaining 60. Or for you, it's going to probably 54 this year.
Even though on some weekends, I think there's literally four bikini shows, literally four of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's forget that.
Didn't we have one in, was an Asian country the other day, it was like four girls or six girls or something really small too. There was one.
I was talking about shows per weekend, competitors.
No. Yeah. No, but there was, I'm saying in terms of like, ability to get in to the Olympia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was one with like, I know it was less than 10. So
it was four.
That's crazy.
That was the final. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. That's crazy. That's crazy. So
get that visa, everyone. Head over to China.
So they love bodybuilders over there too, which is it's a different world. You know, when you go to bodybuilding in one of those other countries where they have only like two or three events a year, it's like, they're real fans of bodybuilding. You know, I love that. I wish United States was a little bit more like that. Cause it'd be fun, but it's so common out here. Like there's a lot of people that you go to any good gym and you might see one or two pros, but over there, it's like, you don't see them very often. They're just like, want pictures. Everyone's super nice. They bring you little gifts. Like it's just such a fun, it's a fun thing. So anyway, and then the last thing, which Ashley always says is do all the crazy things.
Do all the crazy things. If you're feeling it, you look good and you're ready to compete. Don't second guess sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta, something sounds crazy. Just do it. Just do it. At least try, you know, just try. That's all I'm asking, because you don't want to look back, you know, 20 years from now and be like, yeah, I should have just competed. I shouldn't have second guessed myself all this time and just did it, you know? Because what do they say? You're going to regret the things you didn't do more than the things you did do and maybe failed at. So as long as you know you're in a good spot, like no need to be hypercritical. Because I do think that sometimes, although it's good to be critical of yourself, some people like take it a little too far. And even when they are ready, they don't think they're ready, or they could never be something, or even step on stage because they just don't think they're good enough. So.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. That's always tell everyone, you know, if you're trying to go pro, yeah, it's a different thing. But if you're just wanting to get on stage and be the best you can be, and you focus for 16 weeks, 6 months, whatever, and you get on stage and yeah, maybe you don't look like a top 10 Olympian, but you're still having, you know, a great time. Those pictures, you're still, even if you're not, you're like the best one there, you're still going to be better than 99% of the, more than 99%, probably like 99.99% of people out there, you're going to have those pictures. You're going to have that reward. You're going to have that feeling of accomplishment that you did it and you were able to dedicate yourself to something for so long. You'll carry those lessons to you for the rest of your life on other things that you apply yourself to. And you know, like, hey, I did it. And that's like the rewarding part of it. So with that, I want to go over, if you guys have anything of lessons you've learned and want to leave it in the comments here, we'll bring them up right now. We're going to go through our comments right now, but go ahead and leave it in the comments there. But had some people joining us today. You know what? So thank you guys for joining. I'll see if there's any of these comments here that have questions in them, and we'll go over those at the end here too. All right. So Jess Ross is finally catching alive. Ashley, you're my all-time fave competitor. Adam, I've been listening. Adam, I've been an avid TEP follower for a long time, and your coaching philosophies and education are the best. Oh, well, thank you very much. Hopefully you use them for your shows and you win, and then you better say thank you. all right. So going over some other, let's see here. Hey, Duo Transcend is in the house. So Duo Transcend, they're a Vegas couple. If you guys have never seen Duo Transcend, they are on America's Got Talent. Awesome couple, good friends. And we go out and eat once in a while, but they are at the America's Got Talent show here in Vegas. If you guys need to go see a good show, the Mirage, Google, YouTube, Duo Transcend. They have some cool, they do some crazy stuff, crazy, crazy stuff. So thank you guys for watching. Okay. And not sleeping with a full belly. They were talking about this as like having that cheat show at night.
Oh yeah.
After the show, like that feeling of being, yeah. Cause it's always good when you're eating it. Like when you eat it. And then like for me, after I eat it, I get that indigestion and I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done. It was like 5 minutes. And I'm like, man, that's such a waste of calories. Like sometimes, or there's the indigestion and I'm trying to sleep at night. I have it. And I'm like, man, that's when I regret it. And then, so it's been being older now and going through this a few times, I've learned it's not actually the best thing. Sometimes it's not even really worth it. Those moments, those 5 minutes of glory aren't always really worth it. Okay. So I'm just going through these as I see them. Oh, okay. There's another one here. This is actually good to know. Princess Me. I feel like it can't be good on the gut and internal health eating so poorly in the off season. I would agree with that. You know, there's actually studies that'll show that too. You know, if people who gain rapid amount of weight, in short periods of their life, multiple times, have a lot higher risk of heart disease later on in life. So like people don't talk about that part of it. They just talk about, oh, off season and having balance and this and that. And I'm like, you don't understand, like you gaining that much weight that quickly, multiple times in your lifetime is putting you at risk for a lot of things that you don't really see. You're just saying, oh, I earned it because I prepped for a show. I don't think dieting equals gaining back weight rapidly. I don't think that ever earns that, just because you're just trying to justify a reason to eat the way you want to for a period of time because you're hungry. That's really usually what it comes down to. So yes, good on that one. All right. Okay. And then also when asking about the Arnold UK analysis, they didn't have any pictures in the NPC news. The only thing I could get was like screenshots.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't have it on the Arnold or the Arnold UK. Even the Arnold one I reviewed was screenshots of like video.
Oh.
Yeah. So I need high quality pictures to do a good one. I did have someone send me screenshots, but it had like the thing right across the middle of it too. So I do appreciate them sending me, but yeah, it really just came down to that. And everyone's already done the recap at this point now. So, but all the pro shows or most of the pro shows, I will be doing recaps on. I'm going to do them like I did them last time. I'm actually getting another TV put in the office and another station put up so I can do them and like point to it and whatnot and just do them live and do them easy. But I need the pictures on NPC News Online or good quality pictures. So that was the only real reason I haven't done that one. So, yeah, I don't know why they don't, I guess, cause Arnold does his own thing. But he doesn't have pictures post show. He has an awesome live feed, awesome live stream, but doesn't post the pictures. Don't go up on NPC News Online. Haven't for a couple of years. So yeah, I think it's been like 2 or 3 years where they haven't been on NPC News Online. Okay, we have Christina. She says, "Hi, Adam and Ashley. Love you both. Your energy is amazing. Unless of course it's peak week for Ashley, her energy is a little lower than." Just kidding, guys. All right. She says, "You want to train with you for your first bikini show?" Well, hit us up. We would love to see that. Come out. If you guys are out in Vegas ever, come on out. We have on the website, teamelitephysique.com. We have posing seminars all throughout the year already listed. happy to teach you guys. It's it'd be a fun time for you all to learn. And hopefully you join the team and come do a team show. That's always fun. Any other ones you see? Let's see, we got any added here? Nope. All right, just people saying thank you and nice things. So I appreciate it. Anytime you guys say these nice comments. If you are in San Diego this weekend at the pro show, it's a muscle contest pro show. I'll be there. Say hi. Soon you'll be saying hi to Ashley competing. We'll see when. Any last words for you, Ash?
Thank you all for watching. Today's episode is brought to you by Nebbia Fitness. And I love your shirt, Adam. Muscleegg.com/Team Elite Physique. It's a backslash.
Forward slash Team Elite Physique.
Muscleegg.com/Team Elite Physique to save money on your eggs.
And then what else? We got Angel Competition bikinis too. Gotta
yes,
give that.
Yes.
Ashley, code Ashley.
Code Ashley K Fit. Shoe Fairy, code Ashley K Fit. Ashley K Fit for the codes.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week.